Then it tells us that the mark of the beast will have the number. We will be able to recognize the beast because he has the number 666. Now, 6 is a number that governs the solar plexus, the emotions, and it governs strong authority. Okay? It also governs the Piscean Age. So it's very powerful during the Piscean Age. And so 6 represents emotional control. And control by strong authority, as represented in the Piscean Age. Now there's 3 sixes. The reason there's 3 sixes is it controls all 3 areas of normal living. The first is the physical. The second is the emotional. And the third is the mind. And the beast wants to control them all. In other words, the reason he's called the beast is because the people subjected to him are like beasts. In other words, they're like animals that don't think on their own. They're herded around, they're told what to do, what to think, how to behave, where to go, when to eat. And one of the reasons he's called the beast is that we are treated as beasts if we have the mark of the beast. So what happens if you receive the mark of the beast and the 666, then you will be subject to control of the beast on the physical level. So if he tells you to do something, you will do it. If he tells you to pay your taxes, you pay your taxes. We do just about all of us do that, don't we? Okay? If he tells us to get vaccinated, we get vaccinated. If he tells us we're supposed to attend church, we attend church. Whatever the outward authorities tell us to do, that is what we physically do. The mark of the beast on the emotions is extra control too, still. They tell you how you're supposed to feel about stuff. You're supposed to feel respectful toward this president, but not this president. Toward this person, but not this person. Toward this group, but not this group. So there will be people, unearned authorities, telling you how you're supposed to feel about things. Now, this thing that you're told to feel about could be something that is good to feel about, or it could be something negative. It doesn't really matter. If you're just feeling that way because that's the way you're supposed to feel, then you have the mark of the beast. One person here may feel one direction, like, say, communism is great. Another person that feels capitalism is great. And maybe they're both feeling that way just because they're told that's the way they're supposed to feel, even though they disagree with each other, and even though one may be a lot more right than the other. It doesn't really matter. Even if what you feel is the right thing, if you're feeling it because you're just supposed to feel it, because that's what the authorities have decreed, then you have the mark of the beast in your emotional body. Okay? Now your mind. This is what the beast is really going after in this age. It's the mind. Because we're switching from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius is ruled by mind. And when you have a switch from one age to another, you have the old age, the energies of the old age seeking to survive. So they will do everything possible to pull you back to the old way of thinking. And this is what's happening right now. We're at a point to where half the population seems to have a little bit of common sense, and the other half seems to have no sense whatsoever. And so we have people that are trying to implement the thinking polarization in the mind, and the other half resisting and doing everything they can limit free speech, for instance. We cannot have the mind dominate if we cannot have free speech. This is one of the big battlegrounds right now, is free speech, because without it, we cannot enter peaceably into the Aquarian Age. And that's just one example. We must be able to keep the freedom of speech, or else we cannot demonstrate the power of mind over emotion. But without free speech, emotion can completely dominate. So we want to eliminate the power of the beast over the mind. This has to start with the individual. The individual has to realize that if he has told he's supposed to believe a certain thing or think a certain way, that he has to look at it, well, what's really true? This is what he has to ask. And this is what many people in the churches and political parties don't do, is they say, well, this is what we believe. They think, instead of questioning it, they will just go along with it. To question it, you need to free your mind from the beast and actually ask questions. And this got me and Curtis in a lot of trouble with the Mormon Church when we started asking questions. If you ask too many questions, whether it be the Mormon Church or the Democrat, Republican Party, the Catholic Church, Islam, boy, Islam, you really get in bad shape if you question anything there. So the disciple needs to be able to ask questions. And he has to internally come up with questions that he will answer from his inner self. So that's basically the mark of the beast, and the number of the beast is 6, emotional energy controlling the body and the actions of the body, and the second 6 controlling the emotional energy, the emotional self, and the third 6 emotional authoritative energy governing the mind. So telling you what to think. And how about you, Asaf? Do you think on your own?
No, I just listen to you. And
that's easy. Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, even though you're joking. Is that this is the lazy man's way, and a lot of people think this way. It's like the Mormon leaders used to tell me and Curtis, as far as Mormon doctrine goes, thinking has been done, and the judgment has been set. So this is the way it is. Okay, thinking's already been done.
Yeah, what got us in trouble is asking, well, if the prophet's revelator would show us a new revelation.
Yeah.
And, everything he says is a revelation. If he speaks, he's revealing.
Yeah, don't you guys attend general conference? All kinds of revelations going on there.
Yeah, lots of them.
Yeah.
Those thus saith the Lord, no. Well, show us one specific, and then we got the one on the Negro holding the priesthood. That was the big revelation in our day.
Yeah.
So you can't discern unless you can ask questions.
Yeah.
But it's changed now.
Huh?
It's changed now.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying now is the restoration is not true. But there's a lot more to come.
They say it's not true?
Not true.
Oh, not true. Oh. Well, they've always, in the Articles of Faith, it says there's a lot more to come, all right.
But they emphasize it now.
Yeah.
So they're not pretending that they've got it all. So that's an important.
The energy of Aquarius shines on the whole world, and people interpret it in different ways according to their belief.
Yeah.
Well, is it coming through? What's coming through? Anything recently? I know they've changed the structure of the church. It's no longer 70s.
They're emphasizing women in the priesthood.
You think they'll give women the priesthood one of these days?
I don't think they will ever give them the authority to run the church, but they are talking about how women have the priesthood.
co-priesthood holders is what they used when I was in the church.
The what?
Co-priesthood holders for women. Yeah.
So
trying to make them feel a little bit better about not having.
What's the key word then for the fourth key? Is it authority?
There's no just one key word for it. It's, but yeah, authority would be the most important word to understand. But the key to the book of Revelation is that it's not something that's going to literally happen on the physical plane. Now, we'll have things that happen that people will say, oh boy, looks like the book of Revelation is coming true. And then it won't all happen as advertised, you know, but certain things will correspond. For instance, when they had the nuclear accident at Chernobyl, I think the root of Chernobyl had something to do with wormwood, and a lot of people thought, well, this is the beginning. And then nothing followed, you know. So, but there will be correspondences. Not everything will happen in the sequence there, but the sequence there is important for the development of the disciple as he develops awareness as he continues on. Now, you have the seven churches showing the development of the seven rays within the seven chakras. And after they get so developed, then in chapter 5, what happens? What happens in chapter 5? The heavens open. Okay.
Okay.
What does that symbolize?
Your mind and spirit come.
Soul contact.
Yeah, it symbolizes a transfiguration like what happened with Christ, for instance. It symbolizes the third initiation, the point where the person receives a communication with his inner God. Okay. So we have the first three. Well, no, it's the first three chapters. And this chapter 4, the heavens open, if I remember right. So the first three or four chapters, they talk about the seven churches and what they mean and the letters to them. Kind of just standard stuff, it sounds like. And then the heavens open and has the grand revelation. So it symbolizes the progression of the disciple. He struggles along, overcomes all kinds of things. He gets pretty much control of his physical appetites. Then he gets control of his emotions. And when he gets control of his emotions and starts to develop his mind, then the heavens, then there's a connection. When he gets to that link with a higher mind, then the heavens open. And the heavens opening in that chapter reveal a great arrivement of the disciple into soul contact, or the contact with the inner God, the inner self. Then from that point on, it goes into the development where the person becomes like Christ. And then it even goes beyond Christ, representing what development Christ would make after he had the resurrection experience. So it's pretty interesting when you look at it in that light.